Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Today's scripture reading is from Exodus 3, 1 through 12. Moses at the burning bush. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll be with you, and this will show you that I'm the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain."
When a pastor goes to write a sermon, sometimes they consider, well, what does the congregation need to hear? But if I'm being honest, most of the time when I write sermons, I'm writing them out of a place where God is speaking to me about some of those rough edges of my life, things that I need to hear so that I can do some work. And today, this sermon is just like that. It's a message that I need to hear for myself, and I hope that in it you will hear something important for your life too. Because I bet we all can relate a little bit to that feeling of, okay, God, what's next? So every year, my family does Christmas number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, 6 Christmases. And it makes for a really busy and hectic couple of days. And at the end of it all, our house is overflowing with Christmas gifts, and I don't even want to think about another Christmas cookie. But in the midst of all that chaos, of all the Christmas events, we have this undeniable joy. It's always such a good feeling to be with so many family members so often. And so those days surrounding Christmas bring feelings of excitement, anticipation, and happiness. And then the joy doesn't end because just a few days later, we have New Year's Eve and New Year's. And then it's January 2nd. Back to work, back to school, back to the business as usual routine. And this is kind of what I imagine the Israelites were feeling during their exodus from Egypt. Of course, we didn't read the entire story today, but can you feel the excitement of Moses coming back after all those years and telling them that he had heard from God and God was going to deliver them from slavery and bring them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey? So exciting. And then, of course, we know how they had to escape from Pharaoh, but they did it. And they were able to get away from a life of captivity, and they could taste that sweet, sweet honey. And then it was January 2nd, and they were looking around and saying, what's next? And then they spent 40 years in this time in between waiting to get to that promised land. They had the excitement of being free from the Egyptians and becoming an established nation. They had the freedom to worship God without any restraints. But that excitement quickly waned. They became restless and distraught. They started to question the promise that God had made to Moses just a few months earlier. And it's here, in this part of the story, that I keep getting stuck. Why did God choose Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? And why did God free them from slavery so that they could become slaves of the desert? So let's go back to the beginning of the story. At the start of the book of Moses, or at the book of Exodus, we learn about Moses. Most of you know the story. He experienced a miracle as a child, and he was taken in to live with Pharaoh's daughter. And then as an adult, he witnessed an Egyptian killing a Hebrew man, and he got so angry that he himself went and killed the Egyptian. And then he fled from Egypt to resist Pharaoh's revenge. And he found himself in Midian, where he became married, and then he became a shepherd under his new father-in-law. And after all of that, this is where we find Moses in Exodus 3. He was caring for his flock on the edge of the desert on a mountain, and he became interested in a bush that had caught fire, but it wasn't being consumed. I looked it up, and it says that the mountain area that Moses was on was very dry, and a burning bush would not have been an uncommon sight. But this bush, it just kept burning, and it drew Moses' attention. And as we heard from the scripture, it's in this bush that God speaks to Moses. And God tells him, take off your shoes, because you are standing on holy ground. Or in other words, God tells Moses that something transformative is going to happen here. Something out of the norm. Something different than Moses' everyday routine. It's in those normal, everyday experiences that God reveals God's self to humans probably far more often than we realize. The commonplace of a bush on a mountainside became a place that was touched by the hand of God. And Moses went to see what was different about this everyday experience. And then he answered a call that changed his life dramatically. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a poem about this divine encounter. And I read it this week, and it was really intriguing. And it says, earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. And only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and pluck blackberries. She wonders, will we miss the holy moments that God is putting in front of us? Will we be alert to what God is doing in the world and choose to take part and treat it as something holy? It's this everyday encounter that changed the course of Moses' life, and it changed the course of the world. Some commentators write that Moses was predisposed for a job like this one. He seemed to have a heart for justice. He despised the oppression of the Israelites. And other commentators say it was his work as a shepherd that prepared him. The time out in the fields, the quiet, reflective moments, it gave him patience and a connection with God. But as I read Exodus 3, what I hear is that Moses uses every trick in the book to get out of this call. He refused the commission 5 times, but each time God countered and God said to Moses, "I will be with you." This assurance reminds us that Moses was not working independently. And in fact, Moses may not have been the best person for the job, but God chose him, and God promised to be with him. And Moses became an agent of God's power and God's will, not because of his own merit, but because God was with him every step of the way. And so this story of the Exodus, it reminds us that our God, the God of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, is the God of deliverance. In times of desolation and destruction, and in times of hardship and disappointment, we can turn to find God in the most common of places, and then we can be delivered into a life of freedom and joy. God can take an ordinary bush, or a house, or a park, or a conversation, and turn it into something sacred and holy. Encountering God in the commonplace makes the ordinary extraordinary and also holy. And it's in the times that we have lost our joy. It's in the times of horrible disappointment that we usually have the greatest opportunity for sacred encounter. And so the part of Moses' journey that's been so intriguing to me over the last couple of weeks is this time he spent in the wilderness. The 40 years of desert wandering, moving from mountain to mountain in hard terrain with little food, little water, before they finally arrive at the promised land. And so we could call this time the in-between. They left Egypt where they had a place to live and food to eat, and they were on their way to where they hoped to find fertile land and space to grow. But for 40 years, they were wandering and lived in this in-between where life is not as it once was, and there is a promise of something better to come. But this time in the in-between is often scary and frustrating. I was reading a book this week by Pastor Jeff Mannion, and he writes about the reality of walking in the wilderness. He says, "In our more confident, faith-filled moments, we know that we will regain our footing and find some kind of balance in the new normal. But for now, we are simply and suddenly between and at a loss for how to navigate the terrain." It's in the Exodus story that the desert became a necessary middle space for the Israelites. It's here where God meets Moses. It's where God delivers the Ten Commandments, but it's also where God formed the Israelites and established them as a nation. The time for the Israelites in the desert was pivotal in their spiritual journey and in their transformation from slavery to freedom. Walking in the wilderness can look like a lot of different things: the loss or change of a job, a new diagnosis, an unexpected death of a loved one, a relocation to another state. But what we learn from the Israelites is that it's in this time of unknown terrain that God does a lot of work on us. God uses this time in between to transform us into people of depth and strength. And times of walking in the wilderness provide opportunities for spiritual growth, but they also provide opportunities for bitter resentments to flourish. And so as we go through our own wilderness experiences, we realize that it's our reaction, not just the hardship, that shapes us. It's our response to the difficulty that reveals the person we are and the person that we are becoming. And most of the time, we cannot control the situations that we find ourselves in, but we can control how we respond to them. And it's often in that response that God uses us to bring about God's goodness and transformation for the world. Henry Nouwen writes about this. He says, "Strange as it may sound, we can choose joy. Two people can be part of the same event, but one may choose to live it quite differently than the other. One may choose to trust that what happened, painful as it may be, holds a promise. The other may choose despair and be destroyed by it." And what makes us human is precisely this freedom of choice. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. The promise that he speaks of is that God will not waste our suffering. Whatever adversity you are walking through right now, God can do something good out of it, because God forces good out of evil. Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." And many years after the Exodus, after this time in the desert, the prophet Isaiah comes to speak to the Israelites. They were once again in another in between, because the northern kingdom of Israel had been taken captive, and they were wondering how God was going to deliver them again. And this is what Isaiah says to them. He says, "The Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with you. The lesson that the Israelites learned from time and time again is that God delivers us from the wilderness to bring about something good. And we can be sure of this promise because of the miraculous birth, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Evil did not have the last word. God used the worst possible situation to bring about salvation for humanity. And on Mount Horeb, God said to Moses, "I will be with you." And at the birth of Jesus, God says to the world, "I will be with you." We are never alone because of the promise that God has made. So in 2018, I am headed into my own wilderness. And although I may be scared to leave a place that is comfortable and that I've known for a long time, I know that God will be with me every step of the way. The promise he gave to Moses is the still promise, still the same promise he gives today. God has come to us, Emmanuel, an everlasting assurance that he will be with us during our times in the wilderness, in our times of difficulty and suffering. We worship a God of deliverance who has come to earth to show us the way to live and the way to love. And it's in Christ that we are given the strength to choose joy, even in the most difficult of circumstances. We can be confident that God will deliver us from our time in the wilderness to something much better, because God has a better ending in store for our lives than resentment and bitterness and suffering. The Israelites may have had to endure difficulty for 40 years, but God always showed up, and most of the time in the most common of places. The Israelites, they did endure a season of constant difficulty, and they questioned their time in the desert. But God used it to shape them into a nation that was deeply connected to their Creator and a nation that was ready to enter the promised land. So from the common bush on a common mountain, God showed up. And this is what he said to Moses. I have seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned for their suffering. We worship a God who hears our cries and sees our distress. We worship a God who named himself Emmanuel, God with us. So from the promise of Moses to the promise of the cross, God has delivered his people from their tragedy to something better. God uses difficulty to shape us into the people that God means for us to be. And God does not abandon us. And we can be assured that God's mercy in the past gives us a sustaining faith for the future. Earth is crammed with heaven. God will lead us where we need to be. And I have the confidence of Christ that just as God said to Moses, God will say to us again, take off your shoes. The place where you are standing is holy ground. Amen.